bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Tonight, Camden Yards, Orioles and Yankees in Game 2 of a three-game series, weather permitting. Yep, back at Camden Yards, it's raining at the ballpark. The infield is covered. And by the looks of things, if we do play, we could be here a while. So it takes some patience. Then again, maybe not. We'll keep you posted. But it is raining at the ballpark, and we will be here for a bit. But tonight we do have a manager's report. Buck Showalter and Rock Kubatka when we continue right after this.
Rock Kubatka with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Like, we'll start with Dylan Bundy yesterday. He's been so good, as we say, you know, spoils us at a high level. Coming off that one-hit shutout, what was it yesterday where he just couldn't seem to find that command?
Well, that was it. The command, you know, and it's not going to be perfect every time out. And obviously against a team that's operating on all cylinders, we know that they're going to be on top of their game. You know, Dylan started out well, just couldn't, you know, make the adjustment that he usually makes during a game. He wasn't the only one that was walking people, but that certainly, you're not going to walk 10 people and win a baseball game, Rock. We know that.
Gabriel Ulloa finished up two scoreless innings. He's had some really good relief outings, including the six scoreless after relief Wade Miley earlier this year against the White Sox, and then went on the DL with a hamstring injury. We've seen a couple outings that weren't at that level. Have you seen enough of him to get any kind of a read on whether he could be somebody that could be a contributor down the road next season?
Well, we certainly think he can be, you know, but keep in mind the situations that he's pitching well in, you know, and but what do you want him to do, not pitch well? You know, you got to start somewhere. So he's certainly he's coming off a good outing in Triple A. He's actually a couple of good outings, and you know, he was well rested. That was his day to pitch yesterday, and I was expecting him to pitch well, which he did.
I know Jimmy Yacobonis didn't pitch yesterday, but he got two wins in a span of 3 days. What do you think he needs to do? He obviously had a good season in Triple A. What's he need to do to kind of take that next step and maybe be somebody who can stick here in 2018?
I think more important, somebody that you can trust, and that's going to come with the command and throwing a ball over to plate. You know, he's got some strange numbers in Triple A. In some ways, his hits to innings are off the charts, but his walks are a challenge, and he doesn't strike that many people out, which means there's a lot of weak contact against him when he throws the ball in the zone. And, you know, let's face it, he was very fortunate those two outings the last 2 days that some hard hit balls were right at somebody that turned into double plays. So you do try to keep that in mind, but, you know, he feels good about himself right now, and, you know, we'll run with it.
Rock Kubatka back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, J.J. Hardy looked like he was working out earlier today on the field. What's the latest with him? Could he be activated today?
I'm talking to Dan about whether we're going to activate him today or not, and, you know, we're finishing up those conversations, and I want to talk to JJ again after his work, but you know, he's close.
CC Sabathia on the mound tonight for the Yankees. I think it's his 41st career start against the Orioles, but how much has he changed from the early years to what you see now with him?
Well, it's like a lot of guys, whether it be a Messina, Mike Messina, or whatever, they evolve. And as their pure velocity might go down some, even though he can go get it when he wants to, their knowledge of pitching and kind of reinventing themselves, you know, he's been such a solid, consistent contributor to the Yankees for a number of years. He's one of those rare starting pitchers that you get a commitment from long-term and you actually like it when you're done. And you know, he'll throw the kitchen sink at us and compete.
I want to ask you about a couple minor league guys to wrap up here who were honored today. Luis Sardinas was named the International League Batter of the Week, went 13 for 26, raised his average at the end of the season to 319, played a variety of positions. What were the reports like on him? Because we didn't really hear a lot about him this year.
No, switch hitter. Came over to us, was really well thought of in the Rangers when he was really young, a guy that you know, can compete for a utility role. And has always been a pretty good hitter. It's just probably an average runner at best, but a guy that can play a lot of places well, but none of them great. But that can change. He's only 23, 24 years old.
And finally, Delmarva lefty Alex Wells was named the organization's minor league pitcher of the year. I think walked 10 guys all season, none in his last 60 innings. So we know he has pinpoint control. How much did he kind of put himself on the radar here with this kind of season?
Well, let's look at it this way. We walked 10 guys yesterday. He walked 10 the whole season. So that kind of puts it in perspective. And somebody says, well, you know, that may not play up here, this and that, whatever. You know, I don't know. That gets my attention. He can spin the ball for a strike. He's got a good hand. Obviously, he can locate a fastball. And he's got a lot of moxie. You know, he's a twin brother who pitches for the Twins, no pun intended. You know, smart move by the organization not to let him go all the way back to Australia and then play the plane ticket back here again for the award. So we're going to get that out of the way tonight. but very richly deserved. And there were some other good candidates, but you know, following Alex this year, just to see how many guys he walked on a given night was a lot of fun for me.
Thank you, Buck. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
It is pouring at Camden Yards. So again, weather permitting, be the Orioles and the Yankees in game two of this three-game series. Sabathia against Hellickson, but again, we may be here a while. In a moment, Mike Bordick will visit with Jimmy Yacobonis, who's off to a 2-0 start in his major league career. Mike and Yacobonis when we continue right after this.
Bordick here. Well, earlier today, I had the pleasure of interviewing Jimmy Yacobonis. Yeah, just called up, recalled on September 1st when the rosters expanded. And he was enjoying some real good success down in the minor leagues. 4 wins, 11 saves, 1.32 earned run average. And a bumpy road in his first stop at the major league level. But since his recall, 2 wins in 3 innings of work. Pretty exciting time for Jimmy Yacobonis. He's up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Mike Bordick here, special guest today, Jimmy Yacobonis, September call-up, and already making an impact, a couple wins here in the early going of the month. Welcome back to the big leagues, and tell us about those 2 wins.
Thanks, I appreciate it, the warm welcome, but it was good. I mean, I came into 2 tie ball games. Mancini kind of saved me with that first win. It was good to get that under my belt. Had a little celebration in the locker room after, that was fun. And then second one felt a lot more comfortable out there. Even though I walked my first guy, I mean, after that, I just pounded the zone and got a ground ball. CD made a great play, and then that second inning, I was really comfortable. So, pumped to get back out there, maybe get another one.
Yeah, you really did look comfortable. And is that the key, you think, pitching at this level? Not get caught up in the bright lights and the major leagues. Just go out there and do your thing?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, when I went from Bowie to Norfolk after this last year, I got to Norfolk and I felt the same as Bowie. So, I was like, all right, I'm still in the minor leagues. Then I got called up here. Called in New York, I was a little nervous. Chicago, a little nervous. Came back in Milwaukee, and I felt great in Milwaukee. Felt locked in, felt like I belong here. So was getting my off-speed over the plate. Fastball location was good. And just building blocks from here. I mean, now that I have the confidence out there, I feel good.
Well, you're looking great right now, but you have a unique delivery. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a pitcher, but I'd say it's kind of violent, to say the least. Mm-hmm. When you go through problems, is it because of the delivery?
No, I think for me, it's just trying to do too much. It's more of a too amped up kind of thing. Cause when I throw my fastball, I get a lot of run on it, run and sink, two seam. And when it starts to cut or stay too straight, that's when I know I'm kind of closing myself off and pulling the ball instead of staying through it and getting that natural movement. So it's not necessarily about the mechanics of it. It's more about the way I think, you know, going out there and just trying to think to myself, stay loose, stay nice and easy and free. Then that's when the ball takes off.
And when did you discover that? I mean, you say think, and I'll tell you what, the major league game, it just seems to me like it's over 90% mental.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without a doubt, 100%. Even bump it up from 90 to 100 maybe even, because like all the guys here have the ability to do it. That's why they're here. You know, it all comes down to how well you can manage damage control and how well you can stay mentally strong and not get too high or too low. It's all about keeping an even keel.
And do you think you've always had that, or was it something developed through the minor league?
Definitely something that developed, because I wasn't a pitcher my whole life. I mean, I would pitch my whole life. Like, I was never the pitcher, though. I'd always played outfield, always had other positions. And then when I got to college, I was just like, you're a pitcher only. It's like, you're not swinging it anymore. I'm like, all right, well, now I got to try to figure it out. Got bigger, got stronger, threw harder, completely lost control. Like, couldn't really throw strikes. And then I got to pro ball, kind of cleaned it up a little bit. And then every year, it's kind of just been like cleaning up that delivery, to the point where I can just repeat it and try to get it consistent.
Yeah, that's about it. Repeating the delivery, it seems. But, boy, the mental game comes into play. Now, when you have your highs and lows, which happen, although it didn't happen too often in AAA this season, do you rely on a special routine to help pull you out?
One of the big things that I worked on with Rick, actually, Rick Peterson back in the past, and with Mills, because I thought they were a good team together. And we worked together, and it was a lot of breathing and a lot of focusing on kind of just getting tunnel vision and focusing on a target, kind of just blocking everything else out and just focusing on just the catcher and just letting my natural abilities take over rather than worrying about got to make the perfect pitch in a perfect count. A lot of the times you see guys miss their spots and they'll get a strikeout or a weak ground ball, weak fly out. So it's not necessarily about always making that perfect pitch.
Well, easier said than done, for sure. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but one of my colleagues, Jim Hunter, is from New Jersey. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, I was, yeah. I became aware of that about, like, right when I got on the prospects radar, he kind of reached out to me on Twitter, and yeah, he's a great guy. Great guy, same area as me, and I heard he shouts me out quite a bit, and the Christian Brothers and the New Jersey shout-outs.
Absolutely. He loves that Jersey stuff. Yeah, for sure. Well, continued success, and it's great to see you up here, and great to see a couple wins, and it seems like just settling in and looking forward to the rest of your career.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Got to keep it rolling.
Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Mike Bordick, along with Tiny Tim Jones, back at the ballpark in the win column tonight. An amazing finish. Bordy, as soon as the top of the ninth inning ended, when Britton got that strikeout, the first thing we said was Orioles try to overcome a one-run deficit, and they will try to find a way to get Manny Machado an at-bat in the ninth inning. They found a way.
Yeah, they sure did. A borderline call to Tim Beckham, but he draws the walk. And, yeah, that is the goal, and it seems like it's been the goal all season long. Get Machado up in these type of situations, and he rises to the occasion. He knew what to look for in that at-bat. He got the mistake breaking ball and powdered it out into the bullpen. Yeah, another walk-off. Orioles 12 walk-off wins this season.
So the Yankees get it done to them. Machado with a two-home run night. Scope hit a home run. Trumbo hit the big home run to make it a one-run game. But, Bordy, this does not happen if the bullpen, Buck Showalter, had to go to the bullpen in the third inning of this game. The Yankees never scored after that.
Right. I mean, pretty impressive move by Buck Showalter. Jeremy Hellickson not having his stuff tonight, so the early exit in this ball game. And, yeah, the bullpen lined up, and Buck worked his magic. And I'll tell you, the arms came in and did the job, and it was one after another. Blyer, Yakabonis, Jimenez, O'Day, and Brock and Britton. I mean, everybody doing the job tonight.
Well, Britton with a 1-2-3 net, couple of strikeouts. He gets the victory in relief, and Dellin Betances gets a blown save and the loss all in the same game. By the way, the Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox are now in the top of the 19th inning at Fenway Park, and they're tied up at 2-2. Well, the Orioles had the lead right away, bottom one, with two outs and the bases empty. Scope got a walk, and then Jones an infield single, and there was a wild pitch, and then Mancini came up to hit, and even though he never got the ball out of the infield, he picked up an RBI. Sabathia at the belt. He delivers 3-2. Old bouncer past Sabathia, out toward Gregorius. He feels it, he juggles it, and he has no play. How about that? The run scores. On a dribbler, Sabathia couldn't get to it. And Gregorius on the dead run gloved it, but then he juggled it and wound up with no play. It's 1-0 Orioles. Well, Mancini picked up his 73rd RBI on that infield base hit. And so Hellickson had the 1-0 lead as he went to work in inning number three. But then Romine, a single to get the inning started. With one away, Judge got a base on balls. And then Castro came up. He was hit by a pitch. So the Yankees have the bases loaded for D.D. Gregorius. 1-1 the count. And here it comes. There's the line drive, base hit, right field. So Rickard comes into field. One run is in. Here comes the Judge. Here comes the throw. It bounces, and the tag is too late. Judge has scored, and the Yankees are ahead 2-1. So D.D. Gregorius with a two-run single here in the third. And so the Yankees have taken a lead. After that, Holiday, he received a base on balls. Exit Jeremy Hellickson. Enter the left-hander, Richard Blyer. Bird came up to hit. He hit a ball that should have been caught. A little fly ball here, left center. That could drive in a run. Adam Jones in and toward the gap. He's going to catch it. Oh, he's going to drop it. My goodness. Here's Castro coming in to score. The ball back into second base. Everybody is safe. Adam Jones dropped the ball. Yankees ahead 3-1.
Wow.
Yeah, so a huge play at that point. After that, Frazier knocked in a run with a ground out. And then with two outs, Ellsbury came up to hit. Ground ball hit hard. Beckham dives or lunges at it, and he cannot get to it. That's a base hit. One run is in. Here's Bird. He's coming in to score. The ball back into second base. That's a two-run single with two outs. And the Yankees now with a real crooked number, a 6-1 third to lead 6-1. Yep, at that point, things did not look all that good. But then In the bottom of the third, Manny Machado, he began the comeback. As a high drive, left center, pretty deep, backing up, Ellsbury, Manny Machado, pavement bye-bye. Into the Oriole bullpen. Well, he's got 31 now, and it's a 6-2 game. And then came the fifth inning when the Orioles got a little bit closer. Escope hits a high drive. Man, he launches one here. Look out, bullpen. Way back there. Wave it. Bye-bye. He hit it behind the back bullpen. He hit it toward the back of the visiting bullpen here at Camden Yards. Wow, did he launch that. A solo. He's got 31. Hey, if Manny hits one, he's got to hit one. It is now 6-3. 6-3. And then in the sixth inning, the Orioles, well, they got a whole lot closer. Again, Sabathia delivers 2-2. Trumbo, fly ball, left field. Backing up is Gardner. Backing up, backing up. Wave that baby, bye-bye. A Trumbo jumbo, and the Orioles are back in the ball game. All of a sudden, it's a one-run game. Trumbo, a two-run home run. He's got 22 now, and the Yankees ahead 6-5. And it remained a one-run game all the way until the bottom of the ninth inning. There were two outs and the bases empty against Yankee closer Dellin Betances. But then Beckham came up to hit, and he was able to coax a walk. And we had said that the Orioles, their one goal was to somehow find a way to get Manny Machado an at-bat in that ninth inning. Beckham found a way, and Machado did the rest. Now, Manny is homer tonight. Hit a solo back in the third. So now with 31 home runs, he's got three of them against the Yankees this season. One ball and no strikes. Beckham, the tying run, first base with two outs. And the 1-0 pitch. Breaking ball, fly ball, left center, way back there. Manny has done it. Machado, a two-run homer. Wave it, bye-bye, into the bullpen. Machado walks it off. The Orioles in the win column. You have got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. As Jack Buck once said, I can't believe what I just saw. Believe it. We saw it and still can't believe it. What a moment. Mike Bordick, he's got, Machado, the walk-off hero. He's got Buck Showalter when we continue post-game show right after this.
Welcome back to the post-game show. Mike Bordick here. Well, we got to send it over to Gary and Jim to interview Manny Machado on that walk-off home run.
Manny, congratulations. Great way to end the game. What a shot.
Great win for us.
Great win, huh? Look, you go up against Betances. What are you thinking there? You've seen a lot of him.
I know he's a tough at-bat. I've always struggled against him, and I was just trying to get a pitch over the plate that I could handle, and, he just left one up.
Well, he threw a lot of curveballs. He's thrown 100, so I don't know if you can sit on it, but you have it. It seemed like he was more comfortable, and he got one up. Were you looking for it?
I was just trying to look for something up. I know he threw that first pitch fastball away. You really can't get off that fastball, because he could get up there and throw for a strike as well. But I was just trying to see something up. He left that curve up in the air, and I was able to put a good swing on it.
Now, you also knew that the Orioles have won the last 11 series here at Camden Yards against the Yankees, and if you don't hit that home run, they can't win the series with Gosman tomorrow. You're probably aware of that, weren't you?
No, I wasn't at all. That's the first time I hear about it. But, it was a great win for us. We needed this win. This was huge for us. And we've been struggling the last 2 days. They're a great ball club out there. They're contending as well as we are. And, we're just lucky that we came up on top today.
I wonder how much in the course of this season, Manny, that the ball club has just learned. We were talking about it. Comebacks just have become part of second nature, it seems like, for this team, because you've had to do it so often.
You know what? We're never going to fight. That's something we always have. That's our best key that we have on this team, is that we're going to fight till the last out is made or till that last strike is thrown. So, at the end of the day, we got to go out there as a team, play as hard as we can, leave it all on the field, and, never give up.
Well, you didn't. Congratulations on a walk-off.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff there from Manny Machado. Well, let's take it downstairs for some of Buck's post-game comments.
What's up? What is it about Manny in these situations that he comes through so many times?
You know, trying to manage the even the inning with we were going to bunt there if Cassie's on, pinch run, Hayes, just try to get that bat to him or John or Adam. But, no, it's you see the arms and the people they run out there after the fourth or fifth inning, really after the third inning, fourth inning, including Sabathia. It's really hard to do that. Great at bat by Tim Beckham that shouldn't be forgotten. And set that up. They got that bat to Manny, but he's been really dialing up what we need in a time of need. Some great innings pitched out of our bullpen tonight to hold them. It's a tough lineup to hold down, except for that one inning that got away from us a little bit.
When you have an inning like that, how hard is it to come back from?
It is, but it's a reminder of what, you know, these guys are made of. These guys, you know, whether it be the pitchers, you know, guys kept grinding little by little. They kind of let us sneak back in there. I actually thought the Manny's solo home run it go to 6-2, and then John tacked one in there, and Trum quick batted one out there, and next thing you know, it's 6-5, and you know you got a chance to make a run of them. But the key is keep putting up zeros out there. Ubaldo had a good inning for us in a time of need. And, you know, Yak came in and did – his results have been good.
Did it seem like Hellickson was just kind of searching for it from the start too?
Just command, as you saw. You know, that's not – you know, the guy that we've seen here and have seen before in his career, you know, he just never really got in that sequence where he had a feel for two pitches, you know, let alone one. And then when he's really going good, he's got those three going and adds a cutter in there. He just really, even if they have to respect the command of the fastball, or never really got into a lot of the changeup, it just, you could tell he was fighting it all the way through. But, you know, I thought Richard threw the ball well too.
Special way to win your 1500th game is a
big league. My daughter, who should be asleep right now, texted that, so I don't know why she's still awake. She flew back to Dallas today. No, it's special because it gets us, you know, you got to beat those guys. You know, it's a tough game last night, and that's one of those games that, you know, we know it's going to rain tomorrow. We've been sitting around the clubhouse for 2 or 3 hours, just like the fans are. And I also know that there's a lot. I was thinking about coming up the runway, how many people are at home watching that game. You know, first time after Labor Day, I think people are back at work. And going to be some late arrivals to work tomorrow. But, you know, we're fortunate enough to be able to sleep in today.
Buck, you've managed a lot of great players over a long career. Where does Manny fit in all that?
I don't get into ranking players versus other people. Manny's got a chance to have a great career. He's off to a really good start. But it's been an honor to watch some really great players play at a very high level, and something that's very hard to do that very few people can do. Manny has a chance to fit into that group. It's off to a pretty good start, huh? Okay. Thanks.
Well, congrats to Buck Showalter for his 1,500th win. Couldn't come at a better time as the Orioles continue to make their push for the postseason.